The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greeting friends around the world. The test of a nation is the growth of its people spiritually, physically, intellectually, and morally. It has nothing to do with the size of their military. It has nothing to do whatsoever with the population, with their affluence, with their GNP, with their average income, or even with the number of churches that dot the land. A nation is going to be measured by its growth spiritually, morally, far more rigidly and rigorously, not only by history, but by the present time and by world economy and by other governments and other countries, and is going to find the outcome of wars determined by its moral strength and character far more than by the size of its military. We in the United States are a sick country. We don't like to be told that because we think maybe by playing a little game of pretend and saying all the nice things about America that perhaps we can overlook the fact that we are sick. But if you'd like to take a look at our marriages and homes and ask yourself what is the current state of marriage, of the home, as a stable unit of society in the United States, ask about divorce, about separations, about pair-bound arrangements, about extra-legal associations of people in loose-knit common law arrangements without benefit of any legal ceremony. If you'd like to check into the fact that three-fourths or about 75% of American teenage girls pregnant for the first time are unwed when they conceive. If you'd like to take a look at the 50% of teenage marriages that fall apart in the first 5 years and how the largest percentage of them are already expecting when they get married, and then take a look at the hundreds of thousands of babies that are born and the hundreds of thousands of abortions that are performed, which relate that something is seriously wrong with the values in society. As a nation, we are growing fat. As a nation, maybe we can get away with, for a certain period of time, pursuing the course of affluence, of lethargy, of I'll get mine while the getting is good, of the lack or the absence of the character that would lead toward personal and collective sacrifice in a time of national crisis, where instead of the entire country going about the business of stopping inflation, it seems the entire country is going about the business of screaming that others ought to stop it while they pump it up themselves. So inflation goes on and on. Well, it's our values that are wrong. It's not just the inflationary cycle. It's not just Arab oil, although those are causal factors, but man's nature and certain elements lacking in our nature are the deepest underlying causes of the problems today. We can, for a time, indulge ourselves, make the most single important goal the comfort and ease of our citizens. We can, for a time, make materialism, goods, services, manufactured commodities, our gods, our Dagons, our Ashtaroths or Ishtars, our Isis and Osiris. We can make them our Jupiters, Mercuries, and Mars. We can even call them by those names. We can call them anything from horses to cats, that's automobiles I'm talking of, to various birds, same comment. But whatever we call them, whether we name them after pagan gods, as in the case of Mercury, or whether we name them after a bird like falcon, or whether we name them after an animal of some kind like Mustang, we tend to bow down before the things which our own hands have manufactured. Now there are going to be serious, far-reaching national consequences as a direct result. Clear back in 1917, in a letter that was written to S. Stanwood Mencken, Theodore Roosevelt said, and I quote, "The things that will destroy America are prosperity at any price, safety first instead of duty first, and love of soft living and get-rich-quick theory of life." End of quote. What is the criterion for American living today? Is it not the exact statement, almost in the same quotes, that Theodore Roosevelt made? Isn't it prosperity at any price? Isn't it safety first instead of duty first? Isn't it the love of soft living and the get-rich-quick theory? You know, you see some of these TV shows with people that their eyes bug out, steam comes out of their ears, the top of the cranium kind of lifts off, their hats go spinning up in the air, their eyeballs are protruding, as I said, and their tongues are sticking straight out. They turn absolutely green, purple, and splotched. It should be called instant lust or avarice unbridled or something like this. And you see these shows where they whip the curtains back, and they're sitting behind the curtains, would be a whole set of living room furniture, or maybe a whole lot of kitchen appliances. But the one thing that always seems to just get gasps of amazement and people almost slobbering, dropping to their knees, crying, bawling, tearing their hair, gnawing at the knee of the moderator, taking his shoes off lovingly, kissing his feet, is an automobile. When they show an automobile there, then the cameramen have quite a technique. They must have a camera full-time on flight. He promised good health, healthy, strong, beautiful babies, peace in the city, peaceful, pleasant, beautiful cities, peaceful, pleasant, beautiful countryside. He promised good crops, good cattle, good sheep. Oh, he promised an absolute cornucopia of bounteousness and plenty and beauty. And there are chapters in the Bible that just are almost dripping with beautiful descriptions of how good the country could be if we would obey the laws that would produce it, if we would get in harmony with the principles that produce that kind of a country. But we won't do it. And we're not really even ashamed that we won't do it. The average person is willing to make religion into a hodgepodge of empty ceremony, of a once in a great while, maybe once or twice a year, little condescending pat on God's head or something, saying, there, I've given you my due, now I'm going to go out and do my own thing for the rest of the year. But we don't really believe that the Ten Commandments of God are commandments. We think that they are suggestions. Now, I began a series of programs in the book of Jeremiah where I'm showing that in these opening chapters of this important book of prophecy of the Old Testament, which is dual and which does apply to our age today, there are many of these principles that show how our values are wrong and that these are the causal factors of our major problems. Whether you want to talk about divorce and marriage, whether you're talking about crime, whether you're talking about government, the principles are there, as I showed last time, where God's indictment asked, why in the world have my people forsaken me when other countries, pagan countries, don't change their gods? He says in verse 11, as a nation change their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Then I showed in verse 13, now he said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. That's the analogy or the type of God's Spirit, which changes human nature and makes it on more of a God plane and puts selflessness and love and an outgoing concern for neighbor directed away from self ahead of the selfishness and the ego trip that human nature consists of. That living waters is not meant just to talk of quenching the thirst of someone who is thirsty in that sense. Even as Jesus said in the Solomon's porch on the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's recorded over in the book of John, when he told people to come unto him and they would be thirsty if they were, and they should drink of what he called rivers of living water. God's Word uses the type of the Holy Spirit of God, God's mind, His love, His nature, His power, that can flow, as the Bible describes it. That's why it describes it as water, as wind, as fire, energy. It describes it in those terms. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, on the first day of Pentecost, it described the Holy Spirit of God as like leaping flames of fire that seemed to actually descend and to be visible over the heads of those early apostles as they spoke with power about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ, in talking to Nicodemus, described the Holy Spirit as wind that blows, that you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. And he said, so shall everyone be who is born of the Spirit. Again, it's described as living water. Jesus so described it. He talked to the Samaritan woman at the well and said that if she had known, she could have had water that was living water to drink. He tried to teach her the analogy of a right attitude of mind, of a right approach toward her neighbor, of the power and the mind, the Spirit of God, which after all is love and joy and peace and all the attributes of God's Holy Spirit. We can't say that we, as teachers, educators, truck drivers and lawyers, as government officials and small businessmen, as skilled laborers and housewives, as retired pensioners and World War veterans, as a nation, are daily seeking God, seeking His laws, studying His Word, looking into the books of the Bible to get those principles that are right in the conduct of government, education, and business. I've had the experience of finding, and it isn't all that difficult, the value of certain commodities. For instance, in aircraft, there is a book, literally, just not unlike the blue book that you've heard about, that is issued, that shows the rather fluctuating, but nevertheless fairly permanent rates of automobiles, what they are valued by a kind of a standard that is set up across the country by a collection of basically all of the automobile distributors, brokers, dealers, and so on. And there's a published book. They call it the Blue Book. Anybody who's ever bought a used car has probably seen the salesman referring to the Blue Book. Now, they have cute little codes so that the average person, even if he looks over the shoulder, the salesman can't understand exactly what that Blue Book is saying. In the case of aircraft, and if you ever see one, you'll have to remember this, I'm afraid, they print the prices backward without any dollar signs, just a lot of figures, no decimal points. Now, if you know that and you're told that, you can understand. But otherwise, you cannot. I had the interesting experience of finding out exactly what a used airplane was worth. I mean, what it was worth, what it would sell for, what you could get for it, not by overinflating it, but exactly what the going market price was by all brokers and dealers and by private parties across the entirety of the United States as a whole. And just as an exercise, I called a dealer. And I described the aircraft right down to the last little bit of instrumentation and avionics, the exact time on the engines, the time since major, all those things that if you're not a pilot and you don't know about aircraft, doesn't mean a thing. But anyhow, aircraft, not unlike automobiles, they describe all the equipment on them, and especially important is the time on those engines, not just necessarily the age of the airframe. It all plays off against each other. But I described it very specifically. And what he was offering me was $12,000 below what he knew in his own mind as we talked was the average price for that airplane. I didn't say anything to the gentleman. He may just not have known any better. But, you know, as you look at business, used automobiles, I mean, about the butcher that goes home and says, you know, the shopkeeper says, I've got to go home, my feet are killing me. The butcher says, I've got to go home, my thumb is killing me. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to take it out on butchers. I'm sure there are a lot of butchers that never let that thumb get near the scales. We just don't do it that way anymore. We keep our thumbs off the scales. But because we, as a nation, are abandoning the values and the principles of God, we're not studying His Word as a nation. I know there are exceptions. I know there are many people who do, but there aren't enough. And as a nation, our moral values are continuing down. God says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and we have, and we can't argue we haven't. You don't see people who say, I know I have found God, and God is a part of my life. They're not in the majority in our country. They just are not. I'm not saying that some people haven't, because they have, and you can thank God for that and say there ought to be an awful lot more of them. And maybe there will become a good enough and a big enough and a powerful enough spiritual force in the country that we can turn things around and get the country back in the right direction and maybe save it from what is impending doomsday for the country if we don't. But we've got to see a stemming of the tide of violence. We've got to see a turnaround in the economy. We've got to see a change in the social patterns and habits and customs of people, and we've got to see a complete different system of values in the country. The other mistake, he says, the other great evil we have committed, we've hewn out cisterns. That's a life's source. Broken cisterns, it can hold no water. So the philosophies, the values, the principles by which we live are like a cracked pot, he says. They don't hold anything. It just leaks out the bottom, kind of like your paycheck. It's got a leak, a drain in it someplace. It's like trying to go home with a cup of water, except you're holding it in your hands. And there's not much there by the time you get home, is there? You need to ask whether or not we are going to see the prophecies of the book of Jeremiah coming to pass right before us, as he says, therefore the showers have been withholden and there's been no latter rain. Because of the way we live, our crops are even being affected. Well, I'll have to break off there, and I'll try to get into the book of Jeremiah and go through more of the scriptures next time, so be sure to listen every time as I continue this series in the book of Jeremiah in the Bible. In the meantime, you ought to write for this booklet, How to Understand Prophecy. The booklet on prophecy, all about prophecy. Is it applicable? Is it up to date for us today? How to Understand Prophecy is free of charge. You can write to me, Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, for that free booklet. It's absolutely free of charge. There's no price, no follow-up, no request for money. Or you can dial right now to the toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's everywhere except in California, Alaska, and Hawaii. Otherwise, if you live in one of those states, you would have to call the number, area 213, and the number is 577-5225. And also request the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. Until next time, Garner Ted Armstrong, goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.